Podcast out there in podcast land, you are tuned into The Paranormal Patriot. I am your host, as always, wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you so much for joining me. Yes, as I say, I'm back from vacation. Now, it proved to be fruitless for me to try and upload the show last week because I could never find a spot with good enough Wi-Fi to do it. If you listened to last week's show, which is the 5G show, you will hear me ranting and raving and just going and going and going on about the fact I was going on vacation, and I may or may not be able to release a show. Well, in the back of my mind, I had it set in stone that I was releasing a show on Sunday. We were leaving Friday, going to Holland State Park for Friday night, Saturday, and leaving Sunday to go spend the week with my brother about 50 miles south at Van Buren State Park. So I figured somewhere along the line, I would find somewhere that had Wi-Fi and I'd be able to download the show. Well, that unfortunately is not the case. Was never able to upload a show, so I uploaded the show on Friday, almost a week. It was about 5 days later than I thought. And I'm recording this show the day after, and the numbers are through the roof on that show. There has been so many comments, and if you haven't listened to the show, go back or go and listen to it, because that show, the 5G topic I had, as I mentioned before, was talked about before by me, and I received so much hate mail. It was like an anti-vax show. It was like these anti-vaccination shows that I, or comments that I make. It doesn't matter if I just make an anti-vaccination comment in passing. I get these people who vaccinate their kids just going off on me. And that's what happened with the 5G show on the original broadcast of it. I had people just going up one side of me, down the other. And I was amazed that people did not understand or just didn't care to learn about the dangers of 5G. Well, this week, completely different situation. Completely different. This week's show, it's complete 180. Everybody's like, you are absolutely right. I do not want 5G. There's nothing I can do to avoid it. Thank you for giving us the topic of what we can do to do our best to avoid the EMF signals that is producing. Just 180. I mean, people are starting to wake up, and it's good to see. I'm very happy to see it, but again, it's coming. If you haven't listened to the show, go back and listen to it. It's very informative and very, very important. You need to know this information. So again, it's the Moving Up to the G Unit, I think is the name of the show. Listen to the show. Now, also, I believe it was that show. You know, I made the little liner notes on it, and I got done, and I posted the show, and I'm like, did I talk about the Lake Michigan lake creature on that show or the show before? Because by the time I got around to posting that show, I almost forgot what I talked about. But regardless, the ironic thing, and I did not realize this until it was pretty much coming up on the time that we were going on vacation. If you are a fan of the Paranormal Patriot page on Facebook, and if you're not, you need to. I am making a concerted effort from this point forward to start interacting more and getting more things on that page. So if you are not a fan of the Paranormal Patriot on Facebook, like the page, because I posted on that page the video of the South Haven, Michigan pier camera. It's a government, a city camera that they just show the pier. And that particular day, it was stormy, windy, waves coming all over the pier. I mean, it's crazy. The Great Lakes are at almost some of them are at record highs. Most of them are at or near record highs. So when we were there, now, as I say, I did not realize that pier that video was taken at was 3 miles down from our campsite. We went down to that pier because there's a beautiful beach there twice. And I did some basic investigating of that pier to see if there was any way I can debunk what I saw on that video. Because if you look at the video, you can see this thing bobbing up and down in the waves. And you can see it try and get on the pier. And I was right where it was. I mean, I was walking in the area where it was. And the waves brought it back down. It didn't make it. The second time it got up. And then it kind of moved and got caught into the pillars on the pier. And then kind of got through those. And then literally forcefully pushed itself out into the water on the other side. Being there at that spot, knowing that that was not even 2 weeks ago that happened, was kind of eerie. Because on the other side, where it went off, is a huge beach. And normally there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people on that beach. It was kind of eerie. And unfortunately, the day before we left for that pier, a 13-year-old child died. He drowned right at that pier. He got caught in a rip current by the pier and unfortunately lost his life. That was kind of odd, too, because we were there the next day. So kind of depressing in that way, but eerie in a way because if you look at the video, and I've shown this video, and I went with my brother camping, multiple myself, and you got to understand who he is. He is a I'll believe it when I see it type of guy. He is a very big skeptic. His family's a very big skeptic. And I was telling them about, because, you know, I'm over there pacing the width of the pier and checking out, seeing if I see anything odd. And he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm just doing some investigative research. Leave me alone. So we got talking about it. And when we got back to the campsite, he had cell service. So I grabbed his phone and typed in Lake Michigan, Lake Monster, and showed him the video. And, you know, at first he's like, nah, that's just a bunch of seaweed type stuff. And then he goes, but wait, now seaweed wouldn't hold its form like that. And he couldn't understand. His daughters couldn't understand. His wife couldn't understand what the heck that was. Both of my brother-in-laws looked at this, and they are huge skeptics. I mean, they don't believe in any of the stuff I preach on this show. And they couldn't. They said, that looks like a huge, huge snake. Now, with that being said, if it's a huge, huge snake, I measured the width of that pier because all bound up on the pillars, this thing was easily as wide as that pier. And that pier is over 25 feet wide. The pier itself nowadays goes 1,200 feet out into the lake and ends at the South Haven Lighthouse. I think it's one of only three remaining operational lighthouses on the lake. And I measured from the point that this creature, whatever you want to call it, came in to where it jumped off. And it was at least 25 feet in width. And this thing on the video was that and more. Now, I received some emails from people that saw the video on Facebook and said, "That's just, a lot of people said it's seaweed." And my response was the same as my brother got to eventually, is if it was seaweed, when it's, you know, when the waves are crashing over, when it's all bunched up along the pillars and the middle of the pier, it would have lost its form. As it was sliding off, it would have lost its form. But first off, it never lost its form. It looked round or kind of oval-shaped. But what really struck people is the way it left the pier. Because, you know, at first when it goes onto the pier, a lot of people said a wave could have put that on there. And they're absolutely right. But the way it left the pier, you can almost see it wiggling the front part of it out of the pillars on the pier. And you can see it make a beeline for the other end of the pier. And it did it with force and with purpose. It wasn't a wave that pushed it off, because this thing literally uncoiled itself and slid off of the end of the pier into the water. And you never saw it again. That was the most intriguing part. And that's what I keep telling people. You know, I get what you're saying in the first half of the video, but it's the last half where you can kind of see it. The waves are hitting it and kind of pushing it up against the pillars, but you can kind of see it working its way around the pillars. And then it just straightens out and goes right out of the water, right into the water on the other side. So I did my research on this thing. And again, this thing had to be at least 25 feet long. I didn't see any physical evidence. Of course, I'm looking for slime and, oh my gosh, maybe there's some scales up on the pier. Nothing. Of course, it's been almost 2 weeks. I didn't expect anything, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that went to the pier looking for this thing. But it was odd being there and being at that pier and being right up against the pillars, the metal pillars in the middle of the pier that this thing was up against. Because at that point, I could look both ways and see this is a wide, wide pier. And whatever it was very big. If you haven't seen the video, you need to go to the Paranormal Patriot on Facebook and you need to click on the video and tell me what you think it is. Because some people say it's a plastic pipe. You know, I would almost agree with it, but the way it's so flimsy and the way it exits out into the water completely blows that hypothesis out of the water for me. If it's a plastic, like those corrugated pipes, I think they're called, the ones that they bury underground and stuff like that for the water, the stuff that you have, if you have the eave troughs that go into the ground and those black accordion pipes come out of the ground and meet the end of the eave trough or the gutter. A lot of people think it's one of those, but if you look at those, they don't move as freely as this. A lot of people said seaweed. A lot of people said it's just lake debris or a log. Well, I guarantee you it wasn't a log. People said it's just a bunch of grass all rolled up in from the waves. Well, again, if it was, it would not have held its shape like it did. And it held its shape. There's people that say when it comes out of the water in the beginning, you can almost see a fork-like tail at the end. Now, I frame by frame, and I get what you're seeing. It's a stretch, kind of. But I can see what they're seeing. And some people say, yeah, that's a sturgeon. If that is a sturgeon, that has got to be the biggest sturgeon that has ever been known. It's ever been witnessed. Again, that's 25 feet. But again, a sturgeon is a bony fish. It doesn't, you know, look at the video. It looks like a snake. You know how a snake kind of bundles up on itself? A fish doesn't do that. I don't know what it is. You know, I hate to be that guy that, oh my gosh, this is paranormal, definitely. because I'm not that guy. I am always looking for a logical explanation. And most of the time, I can find one. But this one, I don't get it. A guy I work with, I showed this video to, and he's a fisherman, and he, you know, he is just like my brother, even worse than my brother, doesn't believe in any of this. And we used to work together, and then I went to this new job, and he was there. And when he was at the old job, he used to just rip on me incessantly, you know, in good fun, about the show, about, oh, what are you going to talk about now, Chupacabra? Yeah, that's not a bad idea. But he looked at it. And he's fished Lake Michigan numerous, numerous times. And he's looking at this going, I don't know. I don't know what that is. So it's confusing and causing doubt in even hardened skeptics' minds. Again, the Paranormal Patriot on Facebook. Go there, watch the video, and see what you think of it. Comment on either the page or send me an email at ghostseeker4@charter.net and let me know. I would love to hear what you think this is. Because, again, I'm not the kind of guy that's paranormal, because I'm not that guy. But this one is a little odd. This is something I cannot explain. I've tried every logical explanation other than an extremely, extremely large, long snake. And if that's the case, holy cow, I need to find a new state to live in because Michigan should not grow them that big. So anyway, so that is the gist of the investigation I had on my own in South Haven, Michigan. Beautiful, beautiful. Holland, Michigan, Holland State Park. Listen. Anybody who does camping, if you have not camped on the west side of Michigan, I mean, every part of Michigan is great. It's got its own special appeal. But I'm telling you, the west side of Michigan is in a world of its own. The sand dunes on the west side of Michigan are beyond words. You know, you can say they're big hills of sand, but that does not do them justice. It is beautiful. The sand on those beaches rivals any Caribbean beach. I'm telling you, I've been to Costa Rica, and the sand on Lake Michigan, I will take any time over the beaches at Costa Rica. Just, they're incredible. Lake Michigan, you're swimming in an inland sea. You don't have to worry about sharks. You don't have to worry about jellyfish, barracuda, killer whales, anything. Maybe a lake monster or two, but who knows? So if you haven't camped on the west side of Michigan, do yourself a favor. Try it. Holland, Michigan, absolutely stunning area. Stunning area. A little too rich for my blood, but stunning nonetheless. Now, Holland, Michigan was actually an afterthought. We were not actually going to go camping until Sunday. And my wife said, you know what, let's just go Friday. They have an opening at Holland State Park. I'd never been there. I didn't know what to expect. I liked Holland State Park. And Friday night and Saturday that I was there, better than I did Van Buren. Van Buren is great. Beautiful beaches, beautiful sand dunes, great area. But, you know, Holland, it's just a different world. Just a beautiful, beautiful world. In a perfect world, when I retire, I summer on the western shores of Michigan and winter somewhere warm. Oh, the perfect world. One day, I dream of a perfect world. Don't think I'll ever see it, but hey, doesn't hurt to dream. All right, so on this week's show, we've got a couple of different topics I'm going to talk about. The first one, we're going to talk about Oregon. It seems like every other week, Oregon's in the news. Well, they're at it again. The Gestapo of America just proposed, and it sounds like it may actually pass, a new bill. If you haven't heard it, you have to hear about this bill. Unbelievable. We're going to hear of I don't even know what you'd call it, a sound of an animal, an unknown creature in the woods of Kentucky. It kind of resembles a sound I played before of an animal, unknown creature in, I think it was Canada or Michigan, I can't remember. But you have to listen to this because it's kind of terrifying. And then I want to talk to you about the absurdity of storming Area 51. Now, I'm going to give you a little cool info when we get to that segment, but there is a prevalent, prominent person who is advising against that. We're going to hear about that. That'll be the last segment of the show. So sit back, relax, open that mind. For those of you in Oregon, what was your name? Rachel, I think it was. Your buddy. I hope she plays this one for you on your next trip to California. Sit back, relax, open your mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Balassis. I will be right back.
Racking and jacking my mind up. Can I be telling the time? I don't care, no. Send 30 messages drunk and dirty messages drunk. But I don't look. No, I can't be fucked to look. I cannot breathe. You took your toll on me.
They are back for year two. Join me Friday, September 20th and Saturday, September 21st in Northern Michigan for another Out of This World event, the second annual Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomena, and more. Also, be sure to check out their amazing vendor rooms for unique items, creative works, psychic readings, and much, much more. Some of your favorite vendors from last year are returning, plus they have added a great new batch of vendors for this year. Everyone was so pleased with the location last year that they have decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The resort overlooks the largest inland lake in Michigan, is full of windows, and includes a walkout balcony from the conference room and the vendor room. They have a fantastic restaurant inside, and the rooms, you'll agree, they are the best. Join me for another educational and refreshing event, Friday, September 20th, Saturday, September 21st at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Come join me for the Michigan UFO Contact 2. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you.
Oh, Oregon,
who is becoming the Gestapo of the United States. Now, we've had our fair share of Oregon hit pieces, and I've got some grief for them. A lot of people were okay with the fact that the government was going to be basically telling you how to raise your children when you give birth to a new child. They would have the government come in and see if you were raising them according to the government state standards. Some people were okay with that, surprisingly. Some people were okay with people being rounded up or politicians being rounded up because they didn't want to vote for a vote that's already been placed. And it was just a power grab by the Democratic governor, Kate Brown. People were okay with the Gestapo tactic of rounding up the dissidents and threatening to put them in jail. They were okay with that. Well, let's see if they're going to be okay with this. Because this, I don't even know how you could be okay with this. This was an attachment that was sent to me by through an email by a listener of mine that chose to remain unnamed and unlocated. But this person said, you know, this is something that we have known about for a while here in Oregon, but I don't think a lot of people know about it because it hasn't got a lot of news outside of Oregon. And, well, I've been doing some research and a lot of people don't know about it. So, the Oregon Senate passed a bill to allow starving mentally ill patients to death. I'm not making that up. I'm not mincing words. That is essentially what they're doing. Now, the Oregon Senate passed Senate Bill 494. It is touted as a quote-unquote simple update to Oregon's current advance directive.
This bill is designed to allow for the starving and dehydrating to death of patients with dementia or mental illness. If you are old enough, you remember the news cycle, the news story of Terri Schiavo, the young lady in Florida who was, they said, just brain dead, had no functions, but she would respond. She would, you know, if you tell her something, she would grab your hand. She would let you know that she was there. Well, her husband, he didn't want her to suffer is what it was, is according to what he said. Well, I think in my opinion and a lot of opinions, he wanted to marry his girlfriend because she had been in that vegetative state for a while. Now, that is not a great state to be in. However, what they did to this young lady was nothing short of barbaric and inhumane. They literally starved that woman to death. And it went through courts, and the courts allowed her husband to kill her by starving her. Now, I don't care if you are in a vegetative state or not. Your body knows when it's starving. She was reacting. She would smile. She would squeeze your finger. She was there. She just couldn't express herself the way she wanted to. So this woman was starved alive. I mean, she was basically put to death by starvation. A horrific way to die. And again, there were people that thought that was okay. And I just don't understand the mentality and the moral compass of people nowadays. Would you want that for one of your loved ones? Well, Tom, if they were in a vegetative state or if they had dementia and, you know, there was no chance of them getting better. Okay, find a different way. Starving somebody, dehydration is a horrible, horrible way to go. Your body essentially starts to eat itself. That's nothing I would want. I wouldn't want that for my worst enemy. But anyway, now according to lifenews.com, Senate Bill 494 is little more than the state colluding with the healthcare industry to save money on the backs of mentally ill and dementia patients. This bill would remove current safeguards in Oregon's advanced directive statute that protects conscious patients' access to ordinary food and water when they no longer have the ability to make decisions about their own care. So in other words, the healthcare industry said, you know what, we are paying a lot of money out for these people who are never going to get any better. They've got dementia. They don't know what's going on. These mentally ill patients, they don't know what's going on. They can't make decisions for themselves. But originally, Oregon's law said they are still required to be given food and water. A basic human right, I would think. Even in a third world country, I would think that would be a basic human right. Well, Senate Bill 494 is, that's going to change that to where they don't know what's going on. Just deprive them of food and water. Senator Betsy Johnson was the only Democrat to vote no, and Senator Jeff Cruz was the only Republican to vote yes for this bill. Now, Oregon Right to Life explains the bill is being pushed by big insurance companies, which has been, and this bill has been amended more than once, and is touted as simply creating a process of updating Oregon's advanced directive. However, even with its amendments, Senate Bill 494 will allow for the starving and dehydrating to death of patients with dementia or mental illness. Now, according to Gail Artberry, who is the Oregon Right to Life Executive Director, she says, it's disheartening that the proponents of Senate Bill 494 have sold it as a basic upgrade to Oregon law. The reality is that it will remove current safeguards in Oregon's advanced directive statute that protects conscious patients' access to ordinary food and water when they no longer have the ability to make decisions about their own health care. Again, it basically takes that right away. You know, these patients are conscious. It's kind of like the Terri Schiavo incident. If you're unconscious or vegetative, different. Now this takes a conscious person. My grandfather, my aunt, my grandmother all passed away from dementia. horrible, horrible disease. When a lively, sharp as a whip person suddenly cannot remember how to eat, how to talk, cannot remember their own family, cannot remember that when I have to go to the bathroom, I have to go to the bathroom and I don't go in my pants. When that is what that disease does, but they are still conscious, they still feel pain. And I'll be honest, my grandpa, he was really bad. I mean, he would just sit in the chair. We had to feed him, and he really honestly forgot how to eat. But every once in a while, he'd come to. He'd be just like, hey, Tom. Hi, Julie, who's my mom, his daughter, who, bless her heart, was there every single day at the assisted living facility, every single day until the day he died. Every now and then, he'd just, boom, there he is. He's back. Wouldn't last long, but we knew he was in there. We knew he was in there. That's why my mom continued to go every single day, because she knew that the outside of my grandpa didn't respond to the fact that she was there. But inside, in his soul, he knew that his daughter was there every single day for him. And it just warms my heart. I mean, it's just, the disease is horrible. But anyway, so this bill basically says you're conscious, but you don't know what's going on. You don't care what's going on because you're fighting a mental illness. We're just going to take you off the books by killing you, essentially. And that is being brought on by the insurance companies. Now, under the current law, this is how Senate Bill 494 works. Under the current law, if it's not clear what a mentally incompetent person desires or wants, the person's health care representative does not have the authority to end the incompetent person's life unless the person is in a specific end-of-life situation. Now, I believe Oregon does have the euthanasia law. I believe that's one of the states that does, that if you are of sound mind but you're suffering from MS or something where you have a terminal illness, you can choose to end your life. So the current law says you do not have the authority to deny that person food and water just because they're incompetent. Oregon's current advanced directive allows a person to specify types of care that they will want, as well as who will be their health care representative if they become mentally incompetent. The current form gives ample room for a person to write his or her complete instructions for end-of-life care, including if the patient wants a feeding tube or not. Oregon's current advance directive is part of statute. As such, it is not just a form. The law also limits the authority of a healthcare representative's decision, or of a healthcare representative to make decisions for a patient, to only what the patient designates on the form. I got a bug on my microphone. Hold on. Get away. Okay. Now, Senate Bill 494 removes the advance directive document from the Oregon statute. The result is that there could be situations where an incompetent person's life may be ended according to the wishes of their health care representative, even if it's against the unwritten or ambiguously written desires of the incompetent person. If Senate Bill 494 becomes law, instead of a person having to opt out of life-sustaining treatment on an advance directive, Oregonians will likely need to specify or specifically opt in to ensure that their health care representative does not end their life. This bill, it specifically affects people who become mentally incapable of making health care decisions, such as someone with dementia who can still eat, drink, and make other everyday choices. That is why it is so important that a health care representative only have the authority to make life-ending decisions if they are explicitly given that authority. The current advance directive preserves Oregonians' ability to receive food and hydration even if they lose mental capacity. Now, according to, what was her name? Gail Atberry, the executive director of Oregon's Right to Life, it is appalling what the Senate Rules Committee just voted to do. This bill, written in a deceiving manner, has its goal to save money at the expense of starving and dehydrating dementia and mentally ill patients to death. Now, again, it's not gone into law. I get that. I'm good with that. However, the fact that it even got this far is beyond any I just can't comprehend it. My mind can't wrap it around it. How anybody can go and just say this is okay is beyond me. Somebody from Oregon, send me an email telling me why this would be such a good idea. Well, Tom, it's going to save money. That way we're not going to be paying all this extra money for somebody who's never going to get better. They're not going to get any better. They're not even going to know what's going on. Trust me. When you're starving, you know you are in pain. You are dying slowly. It's not a good thing. I've never starved to death, thankfully. Trust me. If you've seen me, I don't starve to death. But why you would think this is okay? This is where our country's going. Oregon, the Gestapo of the United States leading the way. I'm telling you, AOC should have been from Oregon. She'd fit in great there. I don't know. Tell me what you think. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Again, GhostSeeker4@charter.net. So, no? Okay. We're going to do one more segment before the next break. Now, this segment here, I received an email from a gentleman who lives in Kentucky. And he sends me the email and says, Tom, love the show. Had to send you this. This is an audio clip, and he sent me the video for him, but you're going to hear the audio. He says, I live near this guy. I don't know this guy personally. He's kind of a friend of a friend of a friend. I've been at a couple of gatherings that he's been, but we've never really talked. But I know who he is, and I know he's a good guy. He said, I know exactly where these sounds were recorded, and I live in these same woods. I have never heard these sounds before, but they terrify me beyond no end. Let me know what you and your listeners think that this man heard. So I'm going to play for you the clip that he said the guy's name is Sean. And I want you to hear the clip that Sean recorded and tell me what you think it is. Now, a while back, I played for you a clip. And I cannot remember if it was in, was it in Canada or Michigan? Maybe UP of Michigan or Canada. I think it was Canada. But the howl that you hear is almost identical to what was heard in Canada. But it's the two high-pitched screams or wails or whatever the heck you want to call them that throw me off. So listen to this. Tell me what you think this is. Kind of scary, so be ready.
Dude, what? Huh. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen to that. What? I don't know. Dude, why do you think I brought him in the house and run out here? Listen to that.
No more by themselves are they out here right now.
Dude, get him in the house. Get him in the house. Get him in the house.
So picture yourself. Now, this video was taken in broad daylight. The woman you hear in the background is his wife, and she's holding their young child. And she's like, what is that noise? And he's like, I don't know. That's why I brought him in here. And then he's like, get him in the house, because they're hearing noises. They don't understand what they are. Now, think about that. You're outside with your son and you start hearing some howling, growling, very, very loud in the woods. You take your kid in and you start recording and you're hearing this and your wife comes out. What is that? And you're like, I don't know. And it's just growling and howling and screaming. And you can hear the fear in the man's voice at the end of it. You can hear the birds chirping, but you hear this awful, awful sound in the rear. And you hear his wife say, no more will they be out here by themselves. That is the fear that was in that family's thought pattern at that time. Listen to it again. And just picture yourself, you're standing there outside and you're hearing this. And at the end, I don't know if he saw something or he just got freaked out, but he's like, get him inside now, get inside. He was scared. Listen to this once more.
Dude, what? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen to that. What?
What?
I don't know. Dude, why do you think I brought him in the house and run out here? Listen to that. Dude, get him in the house. Get him in the house. Get him in the house.
The high-pitched scream almost sounds like a siren until the end because it doesn't fade away like a siren. It almost sounds on the way like a baboon or an ape or something. I don't know. This, to me, this clip is eerily, and I mean eerily, exactly the same as the clip of in the Canadian woods that I played for you a bunch of episodes ago. Here, I'm going to let you listen to the clip in the Canadian woods, and I want you to listen to how similar these sounds are. And it's the same thing. This guy, it's summer in Kentucky, where this clip that I'm going to play for you now in Canada is, it's kind of late afternoon, real overcast and snowing, but listen to the similarities in the noises that you hear.
What that is? Scary.
So that was the Canadian creature sound. Now, one more time, I want to play for you the Kentucky creature. Listen to how similar they are.
What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen to that.
What?
I don't know. Dude, why do you think I brought him in the house and run out here? Listen to that.
No more by themselves or they'd be out here right now.
Dude, get him in the house. Get him in the house. Get him in the house.
The similarities between the two are uncanny. I mean, it's almost like it's the same creature or at least the same species. Whatever it is, it's an animal. What kind of animal? I have no idea. But if you listen to both of these audio clips, the realness, the authenticity of it is real because you not only have the person videoing and recording the audio in the background going, what is that? But you have family members in the background going, what is that? Or, whoa. These are real events that happened. These are real sounds that these people heard that obviously they were not accustomed to hearing. And these people are living in the woods. So you would think if this is something that they've heard before, first off, they wouldn't be videoing and recording the sounds, nor would their family members behind the camera be really afraid. But that was the case. So what do you think it is? Do you think it could be like a wolf or a coyote, a bobcat, or some other animal? I've heard an elk. But those two, I mean, if that's an elk, that's an angry, angry elk. Or is it a creature that we have not cataloged yet? let me know. I'm curious to see what everybody thinks of this. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Again, GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Let me know what you think of those sounds. What are they? So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the fallacy and the lunacy of storming Area 51 and the prominent figure in his warning to those who choose to storm Area 51. Sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back. Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
September 21st and September 22nd, 2019, at the Mothman Museum in Point Pleasant, West Virginia. The 18th annual festival that celebrates the legend known only as Mothman in downtown Point Pleasant, West Virginia. There will be live music, guest speakers, special appearances and events, festival food, a TNT area tour, a Mothman statue, Mothman hayride, you'll visit the Mothman Museum, and much more. This is the Mothman Festival. So be there September 21st and 22nd in Point Pleasant, West Virginia.
Self-destruct is what we do when we're together, me and you. So in love, but out of touch with all the damage we could do. What we had was beautiful until the moment it was through. But when all your love went astray, you just come to face the truth.
So again, if you are on Instagram, The Paranormal Patriot, or The Paranormal Patriot on Facebook, you saw the picture I posted. We pull into our campsite. We set up everything. And we're sitting there, and I look back, and there's no campsite behind us. It's just what I thought was woods. I see a fence, and on that fence is a sign that says, nuclear power plant, do not cross this fence. Use of deadly force is authorized. First thing I thought of is, oh, this is nice. And we saw some crazy-looking bugs all throughout, whatever. But anyway, I also thought of these idiots that plan on storming Area 51. Now, most of you probably already know, but for those of you that don't, September 20th, 2019, it's all over Facebook. Over 1 million people have signed up as either going or interested to storm Area 51. The mantra is, they can't stop us all. Okay. Now, first off, yes, if a million of you go, they can't stop you all. But honestly, do we really think that there's a million people that are actually going to show up on the outskirts of Area 51 on September 20th and say, let's go, let's ride? No, there might be two or three people dressed up as Darth Vader, Yoda, and Boba Fett. I get that. Out of this million people, maybe 100. And that's pushing it. However, let's say that there's a ton of people that come and show up and they storm it. First off, the military has said, don't do it. We're going to shoot you. There are signs littered on the outskirts of Area 51 that says, if you cross here, the possibility of you being shot and killed is pretty high. There are armed guards patrolling the whole perimeter. There are drones patrolling the whole perimeter. There are cameras everywhere. There are laser trip things where you got a laser beam that when somebody crosses it, it trips off a can or trips off an alarm. If you get through that, if you get onto the military base, what are you going to do then? Now, let's just say for certain that you get there and you get up to the first hangar. Okay, the door is going to be locked. I'm sure these doors are going to have a special key code or a keypad that will allow you entrance. How are you going to get in there? But let's just say, okay, let's just say you knock the door down, you get into the hangar, and you're ready to go into the lower decks. The lower decks are only accessible by an elevator. How are you getting in it? Because I guarantee you there's security clearance. You're not going to do it, you idiots. Now, to be fair, the originator of this Storm Area 51 said, you know, I just started this as a joke and it just kind of took off. Well, it took off because you got a lot of idiots out there. Now, cool story in my world. For those of you who are into UFOs and have been into UFOs for a while, Bob Lazar is a name that, boom, you know exactly who he is. Bob Lazar, he came to prominence in 1989. He appeared in a documentary about a super-secret U.S. Air Force involvement with UFOs and the attempts to reverse-engineer alien technology. He claims to have been part of a project to research and replicate 9 captured ships built by the so-called gray aliens from the Zeta Reticuli star system. Now, when I first heard it, I'm like, that's pretty intriguing because he had pictures and what he said. Now, I'm no rocket scientist or nuclear physicist, but how he said these things worked really made sense. But then he backed it up with pay stubs, with a badge for Area 51. He knew how they got there. And all of his contacts that have no idea, he might have been contacts with them, but they weren't contacts to each other. They all corroborated his story. So the general rule of thumb is, Bob Lazar is telling the truth. So Bob Lazar is kind of a celebrity in ufology, and I'm kind of a ufologist, so he's like Prince of ufology. Now, just a side note, about 3 weeks ago, I had one of the guys I used to work with just out of the blue message me on Facebook, say, hey, did you know Bob Lazar lives in Lanesburg? And I'm like, what? And I typed back, all capitals, the Bob Lazar? Question mark? Yeah. Lanesburg, Michigan? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I live about 10 minutes from Lanesburg. I drive by it every day to work. I had no idea this guy lived in Lanesburg. But apparently his business in Lanesburg has been raided by the FBI. He's got a documentary on Netflix right now. That is a great documentary. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch it. But he has his say, and I'm going to believe this guy. If anybody's going to know the truth about Area 51, he will. And he went on Instagram and said, I have to comment on this Storm Area 51 thing. I do understand it was started as a joke by someone, but there are a number of people who are actually planning on showing up. He says this is a misguided idea. Area 51 is a classified research base. There are no aliens or alien technology located there. So the first thing I think is, wait a minute, you lied? All these years you've been lying? Well, then I read the rest of the text or the Instagram post. He says, the only place that there was ever any alien technology was at Site S4, which is south of Area 51 proper. That was 30 years ago. S4 may have been moved decades ago, or it is possible it is no longer being used for the project. He says, I do not support this movement. The last time someone tried to get into Area 51, he was shot. This is not the way to go about trying to get more information. But then he ends it with, what is good is the interest in the subject, the science and technology. That is what would immediately change the world we live in. So I 100% agree with Bob Lazar. Area 51 is not where you want to be. I if you're new to the show, in the 90s, I was a very, very knowledgeable ufologist. I know that Area 51 was not the alien research place. It was S4. And that's why it kind of shocked me at first when he said there's no alien presence there. And I'm like, wait a minute. And then he said S4, and then it came to me. But anyway, there's nothing at Area 51. That is a base where they test new fighter planes, test new military equipment. You're not going to find anything other than maybe the Aurora project or the TR-3B, which is the triangular craft that everybody mistakes for a UFO. You're not going to find anything for that. So to be storming that area is kind of stupid. And secondly, let's just go into saying that, yes, there are aliens at Area 51. Let's just say that there are. This has been going on for roughly, I know about it, for at least a month now. Do you not think, and obviously the government knows about it because they've made a post that says, hey, listen, don't storm Area 51. We will shoot you. So they know that this is a thing. So you get these idiots that are going to run in their Boba Fett, their Highlander, their Starship Troopers. They're going to run in those gear and run headlong right into the end of a bullet. I mean, honestly, the military said, we will shoot you. This is a classified, restricted area. It is posted. We own this land. Do not come on it. But these people think they're going to make a difference, and they think they're going to find aliens at Area 51. They're not. They're not going to find anything except cold, hard lead. Or hot lead, I guess it'd be. I don't know. Never been shot, thankfully. But anyway, this whole Area 51 thing is such an absolute joke. In the originator of this says it. He says this was a joke, that it just blew up. But there's people that are going to do it. Now, I did see a meme that really struck me as funny, but it says, hey, screw Area 51. Let's storm the Vatican. They can't rape us all. I would love to see what's in the Vatican, in the basement of the Vatican, because there are theories that there is a just life, world-changing documents down there. I would love to see what's down there. So let's storm the Vatican, okay? Let's not kill ourselves by storming an area that's just going to tell us, hey, you're developing a new fighter plane. Great. But the Bob Lazar thing, that's cool. And again, if you haven't seen the documentary on Netflix, you have to watch it. It's amazing. And the guy is being absolutely bugged and just hounded by the FBI. He knows something. He knows, and I really truly think what he says happened, happened. I really truly think that, so let me know what you think. What are you storming Area 51? Let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. That'll do it this week, everybody. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Let me know what you think of Area 51. Let me know what you think of the Oregon Bill. And most importantly, let me know what you think about those noises in the woods. I am curious to see everybody's thoughts. All you woodsmen, you hunters, have you heard these? Do you know what they are? Let me know. ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Thank you for listening. I will be back. Ooh, wait a minute. Will I be back next week? It's going to be tough. Probably late Sunday I'll have a show. We are again going camping this weekend. Tubing down the river. That ought to be fun. So anyway, have a great week, everybody. Thank you for listening. You have been listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I am out of here. We couldn't keep this out of breaking off for a million reasons. To bring him back to life was beyond our reaches. Now you're just a stranger, just a stranger. I know you know we couldn't keep this out of breaking off for a million reasons. To bring him back to life was beyond our reaches. Now you're just a stranger with all my secrets.